ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। वी आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् the most marvelous life of this great Acharya, Shankaracharya. His teachings, his especially philosophy of Advaita Vedanta, is influencing quite a number of people even in the West, and his influence is growing by the day. So, in our last class we have seen how Shankaracharya was commanded by his own guru as well as by Vedavyasa, Badarayana, that you have to propagate this Advaita philosophy, which has seemed to have been almost forgotten in the emergence of the worship ritualism, ceremonialism, that is the first part of the Vedas. In order to counter that one, that Shankaracharya went, met Kumarilabhatta, and then, as directed by him, went to Mandana Mishra and defeated him in a very tough debate that had spanned many, many days together. And then ultimately, Mandana Mishra had to accept that there is something much better than ceremonialism. But the point we have to note down here is, Shankaracharya did not outright condemn ceremonialism, ritualism. And we see this tendency that in the first part of the Gospel, very first chapter, M, being under the influence of this English education and also some of the Hindu religious sects like Brahmoism, like Dayananda Saraswati's Arya Samajism, that this idol worship is only not truth, it is for people who are uncultured, and it is for the people who are crude, who are not so intelligent, etc. That was being very greatly propagated at that time, vigorously propagated, that these are all idiots. But then M was under that influence, and he dares to question Sri Ramakrishna, should not people be taught that they should stop worshipping idols? And then Sri Ramakrishna outright gave him a shock. God has created many different pathways to suit the different mentalities of people. He said, even a person who worships the idol, the idol is not made up of clay, and in Sanskrit we say it is not Mrinmayi, it is Chinmayi. Mother Durga, Mother Kali, they are not earthen figures. They are manifestations of pure consciousness, Chinmayi. And then M was convinced. He would never again argue. And that the same instance, we see Swami Vivekananda being questioned by an immoral Raja in the North India. And again Swami Vivekananda, that famous incident, spit upon the portrait of your ancestor. And then Swamiji explained in a very telling manner that people, when they worship a stone or an image or a portrait or a picture, they are not so foolish as to think a lifeless thing is greater than themselves. But it reminds them the idea of God. And slowly from there, by God's grace, only by God's grace, everybody will progress. That means their understanding, their intellectual capacity to grasp more and more of God grows by the grace of God. And when that time comes, there is no need for anybody to stop ritualism. It falls off themselves. So this is a point we have to note down. It is not either or, no. Either you give up this one and adopt the other one, otherwise you are dead. No. This is a stage in the slow development of spiritual progress. And that is a point Sri Ramakrishna had again come to preach. Do not condemn anyone, because provided a person is sincere, everybody will progress. Now, the bet that was agreed between Mandana and Shankaracharya was that whoever gets defeated, he must give up his belief, his practice, and adopt the winner's school of philosophy. It is not an intellectual defeat. Another point we have to remember, that Shankaracharya really convinced, and real conviction cannot be given to a person who is a fanatic. Because even if you convince, he says, yes, I understand I cannot win over you with arguments, but my heart does not agree to what you are trying to tell me. But that is not the case in this instance of Shankaracharya. He says that, yes, that I agree that ceremonialism plays a very important part. Now I have to, it served its purpose. Now I have to move forward. So that ingenious test by the wife of Mandana Mishra, a great learned lady who was considered, respected as an incarnation of Mother Saraswati herself. So here we get this wonderful point. Wherever we get that great manifestation of anything, it could be knowledge, it could be artistry, it could be anything else. Now, Mandana Mishra had accepted the view of Shankaracharya. He was convinced of it and he decided to follow, accept Shankaracharya as the guru and follow his way of life, monastic life. But the wife of Mandana Mishra, it is an incident mentioned. How far it is true, we do not know. But it is mentioned that this Vayabharati, she said, I am the half of my husband. Merely defeating my husband will not do. You will have to defeat me also. And then Shankaracharya was not expecting what she was going to ask, compete with. But he was thinking innocently that she will ask some scriptural things and he will clarify, and he would be very glad to correct her also. But then this is a legend. How far it is true, we don't know. But certain important points we can learn from this. Vaibharati, he said that you tell me how a man can woo a woman, make her very happy, in how many ways he can sport with her and make her happy. Now this poor, what we call brahmachari by birth, how can he know how to woo? Shankaracharya was dead against married life, not because married life is bad, but because he did not need it. So he had to accept, and so he said, I don't know anything about these things. It will take some time. Please give me 30 days. And the time was given. And then it is the legend I will narrate very briefly. Then Shankaracharya was seeking how to enter into the body of a person who is a householder and who is quite powerful person. He must be a powerful person. And I can enter into that person's body and then learn all about these things, come and answer competitively to these questions raised by Vaibharati. So to cut the story short, one day Shankaracharya was traveling and praying perhaps to Divine Mother also. Suddenly he heard the funeral of a king who was just dead. And immediately he instructed his disciples, I am going to enter into that king's body and he will come out alive. And therefore, until I return after another 30 days, so you keep this body protected. And then immediately, the body of the king was about to be cremated. He entered into it. Suddenly the king got up, probably yawning, and saying, what are you doing to me? I was just in a fit. I was unconscious, but I am not dead. Everybody was shocked. But anyway, mistakes can be made. They took him back, and very soon he became absolutely fine. And then the ministers realized, this cannot be our old king. Our old king was a stupid fellow, an ignorant fellow, a foolish fellow. He did not know his left hand from his right hand, as they say. So, but this new king was extraordinarily wise, extraordinarily, Tejas was radiating from his body, and then his wives were very glad. And this new king was able to solve every problem that was placed before him. Intellectually, he was far superior to even his greatest Asthana pandits. And then they realized some great soul has entered. So they decided that if we want to keep this great soul in the body of this king, it will be good for the whole world, for our kingdom. So find out, this soul must have left his old body somewhere. So immediately soldiers were sent to search every nook and corner of the kingdom to find out the preserved body of this great soul. Meanwhile, Shankaracharya was said to be that with the help of this new body, he went on sporting with the beautiful wives. Earlier, the wives were very much disgusted with their husbands' crude way of behavior with all of them. But now here comes one of the most refined, cultured way of approaching and entertaining them, lifting their minds up and educating them in arts and other pieces of knowledge. They were very happy. So happily they also thought, if you do this to us, we'll be very happy. And being of the sharpest intellect, he learnt everything he has to learn. It was almost 30 days. And then suddenly he decided. Now meanwhile, the soldiers sent by the ministers of this king, they approached, they started searching. Finally they located a body, well-preserved body of a great sage, guarded by some of the disciples of this great soul, and they understood it must be this person. And immediately they were about to burn. At that time, just as he entered this king's body, so he left the king's body and entered into his own body and got up as if he were just getting up from a long, deep, unconscious state. Of course, that was the legend. Then he came back to Ubhaya Bharati, answered everything so beautifully, and she had to admit the defeat. And he said, now the defeat of my husband as well as me is complete. Now you are the uncrowned king in the intellectual realm of philosophy. And then it is said that soon after, her husband left, taking sannyasa from this great Shankaracharya. She herself had left the body and became merged from the source from which she came, which is Mother Saraswati. So this phenomena is called Parakaya Pravesha, entering into other person's body. Now the question comes, is it a legend? Is it possible? I believe it is quite possible. And there are certain reasons, also certain incidents reinforcing this idea. So I will give you briefly whatever. What is parakaya pravesha? It is entering into the body of another person and behaving as if that is my real self for whatever purpose it is. Now, one thing we are all familiar with, possessions by ghosts, etc., departed spirits, and there is no doubt to reason to doubt them. So many people have been possessed by ghosts, etc., and they behave exactly as these spirits dictate to them. This is all over the world. This phenomena is reported to be happening, and it will happen in future also, and it happened in the life of Sri Ramakrishna also. For example, his mother did not know why Sri Ramakrishna had become, that is, her beloved third son had seemed to have become mad. So she called some chandas, that is a person, a mantrika, who had brought a spirit under his control, and this person can taking the help of this spirit can do certain things. And actually they came. This is the incident reported in the Lila Prasanga, the great master. And they looked at Gadadhar and said, this person is not mad, he is divinely mad. And then they also told, oh Gadai, why are you eating, chewing so much of betel nut? Don't you know it provokes more lust, etc.? So that is how we know that so many possessions have taken place. And there are so many incidents in the lives of direct disciples themselves, where spirits pleading, etc., and we all know that. Of course, the most so-called famous mentioned incident in the life of, just before the birth of Sri Ramakrishna itself, Kshudiram's daughter Katyayani was possessed by a Brahma Rakshasa, and Kshudiram encounters, says, why are you troubling my daughter? And the Brahma Rakshasa must be a well-learned Brahmana who committed lot of sins, said, it is to attract your attention. I am suffering so much. Will you please go to Gaya and offer worship, etc., on my behalf? If a great pure soul like you happens to offer, then I will be free from this trouble. I will give up this ghost body and I will go to higher worlds. And that is Kshidiram had promised. And then he asked, how do I know that my prayers have really helped you? And then that Brahma Rakshasa replied, in front of your house, there is a huge mango tree, and a huge branch, a green branch, without any reason, suddenly breaks and falls down. And when you witness it, you will know that I have become free, because I will come on my way to the higher world and break that branch, and to prove to you that really your prayers had helped me. So we have no reason to doubt such things. Of course, you have the privilege to doubt. But another way of looking at it, psychological parakaya pravesha. We know that most of us, we adopt the philosophy, the teachings of either this particular political party or that particular political party, or adherents of that particular religious teaching, or that particular explanation of scientific fact, without knowing what they are telling. Every one of us tell Einstein's theory of relativity. They know, we all know it is great. Most of us do not know what it is, but we know that he was a great scientist, so his theory is absolutely true. So an idea which we ourselves do not understand, but we subscribe to it because of the influence of other people's ideas, that is called parakaya pravesha. Everybody is a follower of either this party, that theory, and this government, that government, or this sporting party, that sporting party. 24 hours a day, we are bombarded by these ideas, depending upon what particular magazine we read, what particular newspaper we read, newspaper column we read, we subscribe to that particular idea and we think that is the highest truth. And that is one of the worst things anybody can do. But the same phenomena can also be a positively very good spiritual phenomena. If due to our past janmas good deeds, we can subscribe to what we call the great ideas. For example, the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, direct disciples, etc. Then we are safe because we know that they are safe. We know that they are great because there is no fanaticism is there. Absence of fanaticism and acceptance of everybody's opinion as a necessary point of growth in everybody's spiritual life is one of the highlights of Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. And anybody who claims I am a follower of Sri Ramakrishna or Swami Vivekananda and becomes a fanatic, he has to be completely discarded. Anyway, this is how we have to understand it. So we are victims of this parakaya pravesha. Means what? Instead of our entering into other people's bodies, other people enter into our lives and transform our ideas. Blindly we accept it. Sometimes it is called superstition also. Every single minute we are guided by these things. And there are instances. I will just very briefly mention two instances. Once, after the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother had gone on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. And Balaram Basu's family and Swami Yuvananda, Swami Advaitananda, they were all there with Holy Mother. And one day they noticed that suddenly she started speaking with a male voice. She started arranging the palm leaves in exactly the manner that Sri Ramakrishna used to do. And everything, his teachings and everything with that voice of Sri Ramakrishna. Then they understood she was possessed by the spirit of Sri Ramakrishna. And after some time, of course, it came down. So that is an instant. Then we know that Swami Vivekananda is called HMV, his master's voice. Whenever Swami Vivekananda spoke, it was Sri Ramakrishna who entered into the heart of Swami Vivekananda and spoke through the medium of Swami Vivekananda. And it is said there were incidents that sometimes Swamiji felt he had run out of all ideas and what to speak, and that made him a little bit dispirited. And then when he was staying with some of the hosts in America, whole night sometimes these hosts or hostesses, they heard Swami Vivekananda's room voices, speech coming out loudly, which was not the voice of Swami Vivekananda. And they wondered. They knew that there was nobody in that room excepting Swamiji. Next morning they used to ask, Swamiji, with whom were you speaking? And he used to smile sweetly and evade direct answer by saying, oh, I was talking to myself. But they were not such people to believe that when they could clearly hear, they knew what was the voice of Swami Vivekananda, what was this new voice. Sometimes after reading this kind of incidents, I used to wonder whether these people were fortunate enough to hear the real voice of Sri Ramakrishna himself, because we never heard the voice of Sri Ramakrishna, etc. It is said Sri Ramakrishna possessed one of the sweetest voices on earth. And whether he speaks or whether he sings, everything used to hypnotize, immediately overcome all the opposition, and they become like snakes charmed by the mantras of the snake charmer, and the ideas of Sri Ramakrishna used to enter deep. And the same thing happened with Swami Vivekananda. His baritone voice slowly grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until the person sinks into his deepest depths. And then the ideas of Swami Vivekananda used to come out. Once Swami Vivekananda was to address, and then he came. It was a very profound subject. And whenever Swamiji used to give it, he very soon forgets about the audience, accepting becomes an instrument of Mother Saraswati or Sri Ramakrishna. And then Swami Vivekananda was telling, slowly I noticed every single person in that auditorium, they forgot their bodies, their minds, they became receptive vehicles, receptive utensils, vessels, to receive the ideas that Swamiji was about to give. Then he realized, even though he could pour his ideas into them, their hypnotized condition, in their hypnotized condition, but still, it will not do good to them, because very strong samskaras, which are opposed to these new ideas, will soon come into conflict with these new ideas, and the person, whatever sanity or understanding or good behavior, might soon disappear, may turn this person into an emotional wreck. And so he simply stopped giving lecture, left the hall, and abruptly walked out. Later on, some people made negative remarks about this incident. Being questioned later on, Swami Vivekananda explained what had happened. This is not an isolated event. Such kind of events have taken place many times in his life. So, there are so many such incidents are there. So, this Ubhaya Bharati tested Shankaracharya on Kama Shastra. This is called as Kama Shastra. And India is a leader who has produced several of these works. How men and women can enjoy together in a better way. This Shastra, why? Because it is also part of the Purushartha, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and of course Moksha. Not only that, the Lord Krishna means Bhagavan himself, declared in the form of Bhagavan Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, I am Kama, I am desire. What type of Kama? Dharma aviruddha kamo asmi bharatarshava. Any desire that is in absolute right way, a man and a woman get married, they have a right to enjoy each other, but not immorally, not illegally, etc. Any desire can be fulfilled, provided it is within the dictates of Dharma. So, through that, the heart will be purified. Dharma will purify the heart, and slowly that desire will increase, and that desire now will not be satisfied with the mere temporary objects, will turn to the one object, which is God himself. So, now Shankaracharya, along with his new disciple, to whom he had given sannyasa, initiated into Mahavakya, and then he became, his name has been given, Sureshwara, and he became a great Acharya, like Shankaracharya, Sureshwaracharya, Totakacharya, Padma Patra Acharya, Padma Padacharya, etc. So, he started touring all over India. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we discussed earlier, that ceremonialism, Purva Mimamsa, was the most influential way of thinking in those days. Everybody was merged. Remember, once before, nearly, how many years? 1300 years before, this ceremonialism was in great swing. Very influential. At that time, Bhagavan incarnated himself as Lord Buddha, and he had to take some harsh measures, including denial of the authority of the Vedas. Not because he did not know that Vedas were teaching the right things, but then to wean people away from killing unnecessarily animals, etc. Not only this killing animals is going on in the name of taking food, It was going on since beginning all over the world, including in India. Thousands and lakhs of animals, innocent animals, used to be killed, at least in the West when people do. People eat them, use them. But here in the ceremonials, just kill, how much they can eat. So Buddha became a rebel and preached what is called anti-ceremonialism. And now again ceremonialism has taken over, and that seems to be the common disease. Like this COVID has become common cold. Now the ceremonialism, let any great acharya come. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come, and terrible ceremonialism had taken over and corrupting people's minds and morals. Now Sri Ramakrishna had come, and for some time people thought that at least he will counter. But now we see slowly temples are increasing, rituals are increasing, this observing the so-called sacred days is increasing, and this is only the beginning, and day by day they seem to be increasing. And why are they increasing? Because people want that. So we cannot go against the people's wishes. If at all we want to attract people's attention, as the business, one of the secrets of any successful business is you have to give a product to the people which they want, which is in demand. It is not that you produce a product and you want to push it in spite of people's demand, and that will not happen. You must make, every business must make a product, and only when they succeed in making people understand this is a very desirable product and demand it, then only it is possible. Simple example is this Apple products, iPhone, etc., very desirable. It is not that they have anything special, but because they produced that mentality in people, these products are great, they will make our life very successful and happy. But unlike these products, whose claims are very dubious to say the least, these ceremonials definitely have a role to fulfill, and we cannot avoid them, but we should not just remain stuck with them. Having fulfilled, but like a child growing, we have to grow out of this ritualism, turn our minds inwards, which is called Vanaprasthashrama, and even rise above that interiority, and that is called Sannyasashrama. That is what we need to do. So, with this greatest opponent, Vedic ceremonialism, properly directed, properly understood, but there is something higher. Many people understood, because when a popular leader adopts a new religion, a new ideology, then everybody, most of the common people, will also follow his footsteps. This is a common law. Whatever great people do, other people also follow their footsteps. There is no other way. This is the normal working of the world. So thus, preaching and teaching, converting whomsoever he met, that is the opposite parties, and convincing them of the ultimate reality. This is something very great. What is it? God exists, and the whole world is created by God, and therefore you are created by God, so you are in effect. God is the cause. Each soul is potentially divine. The goal of life is to know that I am divine, and there are certain pathways, and you will have to take any one of these paths and slowly realize who you really are. That is true teaching of the Advaita. And this is sometimes in stark contrast to the modern Advaitic teachers, who says that there is only one way, and then that is the pathway of Jnana Marga. They do not understand the distinction between Jnanam and Jnana Marga. Every one of us want Jnanam, but Jnana Marga is only one way by which we can obtain Jnanam. Bhakti also, so that's what Sri Ramakrishna emphatically says, that if God is pleased with somebody, he can grant jnanam. And he will really grant jnanam. Many times I have mentioned this. I repeat that example. Suppose there is a mother and she has a child and the mother is very poor and she is in a village. Imagine, in the village, the jaggery is the best sweet or anything made with jaggery. And one day, somebody from a city comes to visit her and presents her with the best of the sweets made in the city. And imagine that this lady has got, let us say, one rasagulla. And then her child doesn't know, the child knows only jaggery is the best sweet. And then he comes, "Mom, please give me some jaggery, I want to eat a sweet." Which mother will say, "My child doesn't know that I have got rasagulla, so he will not bother about it, I will satisfy him with the jaggery, and I will eat all the rasagulla by myself." No real mother would ever do that. In fact, if it is a small rasagulla, she says, "My son, this is for you. This is a better sweet than jaggery. Please come. I am only waiting for your arrival and I want to give it to you." So, if an ordinary earthly mother wants to give the very best to her children, what to speak of God? So even if a bhakta believes, "I go to Kailasa, I go to Vaikuntha, I go to Devi Loka, I won't go to kingdom of heaven," he will not remain, even if he is ignorant that there is a higher state. Then what happens? God himself will say, "My child, there is a higher state. You may not know, but I will tell you about it, and I myself will take you there." So, unable to understand this simple truth about the nature of God, people go on emphatically becoming very fanatical, almost like intellectual terrorists, preaching wrong things. Not only they are spoiled, andhenaiva niyamana yathanda, like the blind leading other blind people. Shankaracharya, he started telling the people, of course, every great person will have not only great intellect, great philosophy, but miraculous powers are also ascribed to him. But here we come across an incident and which shows the great compassion of this great Shankaracharya. Encounter with the Kapalikas. Not only in those days, nowadays also, there are so many people who follow this kind of nefarious activities in the name of spirituality. There is one degraded religious sect called Kapalikas. Kapala means a skull. And everything, they're eating, they're drinking, and they will most likely they stay in crematoriums or places where people fear to go, and in dirty places, their way of behavior is not acceptable to civilized way of behavior. So what happened? There was one Kapalika sect and he has his own philosophy. They are worshippers of Shiva and there was a great Kapalika. He was the leader of that particular sect, most powerful. So it is said that this Kapalika, Shankaracharya encountered this Kapalika. And then Shankaracharya understood this person is great in many ways. Only his intellect is perverted by this perverted philosophy. If I can teach him properly, so the methodology is not torture, not burning, not witch hunting, all those things that many religions had practiced and still practicing in so many different ways. They is to convince the other person through intellectual arguments, not forcing down like lawyers shouting the other lawyers down, but really with the true intention of making them enlightened. So Shankaracharya had made a debate with this person. Of course, the intellect of that Kapalika leader was no match for Shankaracharya's power of understanding, love, compassion, etc. But then we have to realize one thing. Intellectually to be convinced, but convinced in the heart of hearts. Many times these two are opposed to each other. This Kapalika was one of them. Intellectually, of course, he could never argue or counter with a great intellect like Shankaracharya. He got defeated, he accepted his defeat, but then he clung to his things because his heart was not convinced. Now it is said that he was a great worshipper of Lord Shiva, and he prayed to Lord Shiva, and then what did he want? He wants to go to Kailasa, Shiva's place, Shiva Loka, with his physical body, human body. Now, that is not possible, because a pig is taken to a royal dinner in its pig's body. That would not be acceptable to anybody. Every place requires its appropriate body, mind, dress, etc. So this Kapalika, it is said, Shiva appeared to him and said, yes, it is possible for you to come to me with this human body, but a condition is, either you must sacrifice the offer to me, the head of a great king or a great sage. Of course, these kings are having bodyguards, etc. It was never possible for this Kapalika to get the head of any great king, but then now he got the Shankaracharya. Now it is said, well, the incident goes like that. Now, I don't know how far it is true, but this illustrates the great compassion these great realized souls, the acharyas, have towards the world, towards ordinary people. That is all the point. So, this Kapalika, after getting defeated, he schemed a plan. And then he came pretending that I want to be your disciple. And the innocent Shankaracharya, I don't know, innocent or knowingly, he accepted him. And this Kapalika had served Shankaracharya with the greatest devotion day and night. And after some time passed, Shankaracharya, he knew what this person was. And then one day he called him and said, my son, you have served me very greatly. I see that you have a desire in your mind. Please let me know what is the desire. And then Kapalika also, very frankly, he narrated, this is the condition. Lord Shiva commanded me either to get the head of a king or a great soul like you. I failed to get the head of a king, but somehow, if you can offer your head, how dare this person tell to his own so-called guru that I want your head? Now look at it here. Shankaracharya, being a knower of Brahman, he had no hesitation. Instantaneously he said, I know I am Brahman. I know this body. I am not the body. It is temporary and it is of no value. But if it can be sacrificed to fulfill the desire of somebody and to do good to somebody, I am quite prepared. And then he told the Kapalika, you fix an auspicious day, worship your divine mother Kali or Shiva, and then I will come at that time. But one condition, that if my disciples, any of my disciples come to know about it, then they will not allow me to go there. You will not get me, because they will defend me. So you don't tell anybody. The guru was telling, this is the secret. Very secretly, you prepare the worship. I will come there at this particular time and I will enter into samadhi, and then you can do whatever you like with my body. And the Kapalika was very happy. So he went away and he fixed an auspicious day as indicated by his guru Shankaracharya. And then everything was done. The last muhurta has come. Quietly Shankaracharya had left at night when all his disciples were sleeping. So he thought, and then he slowly made his way to the Kapalika's place of worship and kept his thinking of Brahman, entered into deep samadhi and kept his head at the appropriate place to be cut off. But meanwhile, what happened? So the legend goes that Padmapada, it is Sanandana, if you remember. So he Suddenly he got up and he was a worshipper of God in the form of Narasimha or Nrisimha. Remember the story of Prahlada? Prahlada prayed. Nrisimha came from out of the pillar and killed his father Hiranyakashipu. That is, killed his Ajnana and made him understand that you are none other than myself. And Hiranyakashipu's Atma became merged with that of Brahman. And this, since that story, many people worship God Vishnu in the form of this Nrisimha. And there are so many. Some people worship the incarnation of God as a sow, that is Varaha Avatara. Some people worship God as what is called with the head of a horse, Hayagriva. This is called in South India, especially in Karnataka. You get many of these people. Anyway, this Padmapadacharya, later on called Padmapadacharya, Sanandana was sleeping, and then he immediately he was possessed by the spirit of Nrisimha, and he ran like a lion, and just when the sword is about to come down over the neck of his guru, beloved Guru Shankaracharya, and he fell upon the Kapalika and broke his neck and offered it to the Divine Lord, rescued his teacher and carried the unconscious samadhi, merged body of Shankaracharya, and then slowly Shankaracharya came back to his senses and then later on heard whatever has happened. Now, this is the story in brief, what had happened, this encounter with Kapalika. Now, in this Padmapadacharya's life, there is another curious incident. I'm telling because these are all spiritual truths. Apart from the legends, whether it happened or not is not important. But I will tell you, Sri Ramakrishna wanted to meditate upon Hanuman, and he became like Hanuman. And he wanted to have darshan of Krishna. He meditated upon Radharani, and he became like Radharani. Like that, one can, through intense concentration and meditation, become identified with either a woman or a man or another character and become like that. This is called Upasana. Now, Padmapadacharya, for some reason, from the beginning, was a devotee of this Narasimha, Nrisimha. So once he was longing to have the vision of Nrisimha. So one day, he went into a deep forest and he was sitting under a tree and weeping inconsolably. Then there was a hunter and he came there. He made namaskaram and said, "Swami, why are you weeping?" He said, "There is a lion with this particular characteristic. It is having the head of a man, but rest of the body, a body of a man, and the head will be only like a lion. So, have you seen this kind of person?" And then the hunter was surprised. "I know every square inch of this forest. I have seen many lions, but I have never encountered." Then Padmapadacharya said, "That means you don't know anything about this forest." There is such a, gave a graphic description of the Nrisimha. Then this hunter promised, "I know, I will search it tomorrow, and if such a, if you say there must be some such lion, I will bring it to me, I promise you." He promised him, went away. Next day, whole day, he searched every centimeter, square centimeter of the forest. He could not get it. And he was greatly troubled. "I promised a great spiritual being that I failed to get." He started weeping. He was even thinking of committing suicide because he has not made his words satya, truth. Then suddenly, Lord Nrisimha appeared just in front of him, as if he was passing from one side of the road to the other side. And this man, hunter, immediately understood, "Oh, this is the lion which that sage was referring to me." He ran there, he tied it with a rope, and then dragged it to where the sage was sitting. "Is this lion?" that you are specially referring to. Of course, Padmapadacharya was shocked that this hunter could produce his own Ishtadevata in that particular format. Important point is that God can take any form. It could be form of a bird, form of a fire, form of a bull, form of like as we see. In the case of the, what is called the disciple, Satya Kama Jabala. Any form it can take, it doesn't matter. Avadhuta had received instruction from Guru in 24 forms. It is not mere bird or a plant or a girl, it is God Himself enlightening him through all these forms. So this Padmapadacharya, this Upasana, is very, very important for us to understand that if we have Shraddha and if we can think of God, He will appear in whatever form we like, we are happy to see, etc. Now, this certain incidents I have to tell you about this one. First point we have to understand through this incident, Shankaracharya's compassion. Shankaracharya, who was full of compassion, replied to the Kapalika, "I offer you my head gladly. This body is perishable. If it perishes for the good of another, what greater joy can there be?" And then he cautioned, "Do everything in secrecy." Now, so we all know, every day we sing the Aratrika hymn at the evening, Vesper service, Pranarpana Jagata Tarana Krintana Kali Door, for the destruction of the veil of Maya. Sri Ramakrishna, to help people in destroying the veil of Maya, Sri Ramakrishna had offered Pranarpana from the very birth, to be born as a wretched human being from his point of view, not from our point of view, and in this miserable way suffer all the sixfold changes of the body, disease, old age, death, and so many things every human being has to encounter. All for what? So that the world can benefit. That is the very purpose of Bhagavan Lord incarnating Himself. Now, Swami Vivekananda Himself in his turn, what did he say? Now, very interesting. Once Sri Ramakrishna asked Narendra, "So, I am ready to give you a boon. If God comes and asks you, what do you want?" And immediately he said, My greatest joy is to be merged in Samadhi. Only every 3-4 days I want to come out of the Samadhi, take a little food for the upkeep of this body, and then again enter into Samadhi." Sri Ramakrishna chided him, "Such a small mind you have. I am expecting you to be like a huge banyan tree under whose shade millions of people, weary travelers, should get shade and rest and enjoy and proceed on their way." That is to say, this whole world is like that banyan tree, and every wending soul to its on its way to God is that weary traveler, and the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna in the form of Swami Vivekananda will give them the right direction, the rest, the joy and the inspiration, and make them move forward towards the destination. This same Narendra, he declared, "I am ready to be born again and again if I can help even a single dog." So, this is what happens. So, Madhava Vidyaranya is describing this thing. Sri Shankara withdrew his senses into the mind, and the mind into Brahman, the supreme reality. With his face calm, his eyes half open and fixed as though on the tip of his nose, he sat there in a state of supreme bliss, oblivious of his surroundings. And then I described how this Padmapada, possessed by this his Ishtadevata, Simha, he came and rescued. So let us also remember what Swami Vivekananda has said. "So long as even a single dog in my country is without food, my whole religion is to feed it and serve it." Anything excluding that is non-religion. May I be born? Again and again he exclaimed, and suffer 1,000 miseries if only I may worship the only God in whom I believe, the sum total of all souls, and above all, my God the wicked, my God the afflicted, my God the poor of all races. Then Ramakrishna suffered because of taking up the sins of his disciples. Christ had suffered the agonies of crucifixion in order to atone for the sins of man. Every great incarnation, how Rama suffered, how Krishna suffered, how Buddha suffered, how every great sage had suffered. Once the mind of any human being enters into a particular, reaches a particular spiritual height, thereafter he considers the whole world as nothing but a manifestation of nothing but Brahman. And then that person's whole heart will go, the other person, there is no other, it is me. That is what he is my Atma, that is everybody's Atma, and everybody is my Atma. And such a person identifies with the Sukha, Dukha of everybody in this world. This is a very natural development, not special. That's why they become so compassionate. And they are ready to undergo any amount of suffering for the good of the world. Naturally, being such a great Acharya, even Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, how great they were, what great compassion, Buddha's great compassion to lay down his head for the sake of rescuing a small baby lamb. So, Ramanujacharya's life also, his guru initiated him into mantra and then told, don't tell this mantra to anybody. And Ramanuja asked, what happens? Because you will go to hell if you reveal this mantra to anybody, but whoever hears this mantra will go to Vaikuntha straight away. Immediately, Ramanuja ran to the top of the temple and shouted, hey, I will tell you the mantra. By uttering once, you will all go to Vaikuntha. And then he started broadcasting. Of course, the guru was at first pretended to be angry, but very, very happy afterwards. The point is that compassion is one of the results of spiritual progress. Let us never forget, no man can remain a selfish person after progressing in spiritual life. We will talk about how he met Hastamalaka, Totakacharya, and what happened, some of the beautiful incidents, our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohor Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.